Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
From WBEZ Chicago, this is Nerdette. I'm Greta Johnson.
And I'm Trisha Bobita. Nerdette is a show where we talk to people about their obsessions. People who are scientists and poets, astronauts and adventurers, people who dare to ask really big questions and explore the unknown.
Our guest this week is TV writer and showrunner Jason Kadams. He has built his life's work around one big question. How do I tell powerful stories about families and the communities they live in?
Which means he's made some of our favorite TV shows ever.
Yes.
Like My So-Called Life.
Mm-hmm.
Friday Night Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's the executive producer of a new show. It's a high school musical drama called Rise.
How excited are you about this show? Just that it exists in the world.
I mean, when I heard that there was going to be a Friday Night Lights about theater kids.
Right?
I set my calendar.
You were all in.
Yes.
So we're going to talk to Jason about how he manages to make us cry all the tears. And we're going to get an idea of how he recharges his batteries. Jason Kadams, welcome to Nerdette.
Hi, Greta. Thank you so much for having me.
So we have Rise, which is about high school drama, and we'll talk about that in a minute. We also have Friday Night Lights, which is about high school football. Parenthood, I guess it was probably, more about the adults than it was about the kids, but you still had some really good high school-aged kids in that show, too. And then My So-Called Life, I mean, oh my God, that is like the high schoolest show that has ever existed on the face of the earth. Like the angst in those episodes is so intense.
Yeah.
What is it about high school for you? Like, why do you keep going back to that age group?
Well, I'm clearly stuck in my own progression in life. I got stuck at 17 and never moved on, or maybe 15, I don't know. You know, I was really lucky on My So-Called Life. It was my first show on TV, and that was my graduate.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So that was like my graduate school, and that was where I kind of learned how to, write television and so much more. I mean, I wish I could say it was just about writing television, but it was really opened my eyes to just a way of thinking about writing and a way of thinking about life, really.
School is a battlefield for your heart. So when Rand Graff told me my hair was holding me back, I had to listen. Because she wasn't just talking about my hair. She was talking about my life.
I think I became sort of fascinated with writing about that period of time, adolescence. I think it's a fascinating time to write about. It's a very dramatic time. And it's a time when you think about, like, you know, a television show will last, you know, most series will last anywhere from a season to 4 or 5 seasons. And, you know, that takes you through your adolescence, you know, so you can really, like, go through so many stages of life over the course of a television show. But on Friday Night Lights, to sort of watch those characters grow and emerge over time. You know, I think of Tyra Collette, that character.
Oh, my God, for sure.
You know, when you see her in the pilot episode, she just is like, she's like the town hottie. And when you get to the end of her arc and how much she's grown and learned and just kind of like challenged herself, it was like so unexpected.
Mrs. T, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, no, sweetheart. I'm serious as a heart attack.
Tutoring? Independent studies, extra class. You get a nice little kick out of the fact that you can bust my chops, don't you?
The way I see it is this. I see if you turn yourself around, you could get into junior college, kick ass there, and then go transfer to a full 4-year college.
I see all that for you.
That's completely unrealistic, Mrs. Taylor. Do you understand? My mom didn't go to college. My sister barely got her GED. Okay, nobody in my family has gone past high school, if that. What, you think I could be any different, really?
I do. And I think that you should, too.
And so beautiful to see. And there is a lot of overlap of life imitating art. You're watching these, as we were talking before, you're watching these young actors grow as actors and people as well as their characters are growing, and you're watching them emerge. And that's all very, very exciting and, you know, I think honestly just makes for really good television.
For sure. Yes, it does. We interviewed David Diggs a couple months ago from the original Hamilton cast, and he was in a movie called Wonder.
Yes, I loved that movie.
And one thing that he said really stuck with me, which is the reason why that story is so touching, so emotionally impactful, is that you remember back to when you were a kid and everything seemed so much smaller than it is when you're an adult. Like, you know, the spaces you're in and the world you know is just so much more, like, literally compact.
Right.
Which gets me thinking to, like, maybe the thing about high school is that that's the point where things finally start to feel like they're opening up.
Well, I think it's also in your adolescence, you're a child and an adult at the same time. You know, there are moments when you're dealing with stuff that is so adult. And then you can turn around and fold up into your mother's arms, you know, like a little kid. And it's sort of those things happening at once, which is sort of, it's exciting. It's watching people sort of grow into themselves and emerge and become who they are. And one of the most profound examples of really watching somebody grow up over the course of a show for me was with the Max Braverman character in Parenthood. And, you know, Max Burkholder, who's the actor, the brilliant actor who played Max, when we did the pilot of the show, I think he might have been like 11 years old.
Yeah, he was a little kid.
He was a little kid, and he was like playing a boy with Asperger's syndrome. And it was when I took on that storyline and that role, I honestly didn't really imagine we'd be able to tell anything close to the types of stories we were ultimately able to tell in Parenthood with that character. I sort of thought it would have to be like more from the parents' point of view looking at Max. And then it was like an amazing thing that happened. Max, you know, turned out to be kind of this brilliant actor who even at that young age took his job as an actor so seriously, and he would read books about autism, and he would do research and meet with people and talk to them. And over the course of doing that show, the character went from being a little kid to graduating from high school, and the actor had that same kind of journey.
Asperger's is supposed to make me smart. But if I'm smart, then why don't I get why they're laughing at me? They all do it, even the nice kids. Even Micah. And I don't understand why. I don't understand.
Okay, buddy. Okay.
You're not allowed to be without a seatbelt in the moving vehicle.
I don't care.
I don't like being hugged.
I don't care right now.
I don't like being hugged.
I know you don't. I just want you to listen to me.
I don't like being...
I love you, buddy. I love you so much. It's okay.
And, you know, that was all because of how Max Burkholder, the actor, sort of took that character on. And that's one of the things that I feel like happens when you get to do shows like these very serialized, character-driven, big ensemble shows like Friday Night Lights, like Parenthood, like Rise. You know, you also get to similarly watch these adult characters. You watch them grow in similar ways and evolve. And that's the exciting thing about, you know, it's really the exciting thing about doing these kinds of shows is how you can tell a big story of somebody's life over time, as opposed to in a movie or a play where you have 2 hours to tell somebody's story. This way you're watching them evolve over years, and it's a really exciting thing to be part of.
It's powerful storytelling.
Thank you.
Man, I have to say, all you had to do was mention Parenthood and Max and my eyes started tearing up. Like, that's all it takes, man. That Pavlovian reflex with the Parenthood is intense.
Yeah.
So you have this super intense, creatively demanding job. I wonder, how do you recharge from that? Like, are there certain things that you make sure you do on the weekends so that you know you'll be ready for the week on Monday?
Well, yeah, I do. You know, I'm trying to think of what that would be. Well, one thing I do is I play tennis. I have a Sunday morning doubles game with the same four people, just neighborhood friends of mine. And we've had this game for 15 years, and it has been an incredible joy. And it's like if you saw me play tennis, you would not mistake me for a professional athlete, you know. There would be nothing about my tennis game where you would think, hey, did he ever play professionally? And yet, when we're on the court, it's as if I'm playing the finals of Wimbledon every Sunday. We get so, and all of us, you know, we're just all like really competitive and probably damaged people in different ways. And no, but we have a, it's an incredible way for me to just totally get out of the mind frame of being a showrunner and a writer and my show and all those things that become, you know, it's such an intense job that it almost seems like that's everything. That's the whole world, you know, that your little show that you do consumes your entire life. And so it's this great way to just kind of like get away from that.
Leave it all off the court, essentially.
Exactly.
That's awesome. I think I was especially curious to hear about your recharging mechanisms because I feel like especially over the last couple months, I have been recharging by watching Friday Night Lights and knitting. So I thought it would be especially interesting to hear what you do.
That's great.
It's like, what do you do when you can't just watch your own show to chill out? You know?
Well, yeah, no, that's true. I mean, it is. There are a few shows that I've found that I can completely lose myself in, but it's harder for me to find shows like that because it is a lot of times you'll watch a show and it'll just put me in the mind of, oh, how did they do that? Why did they make that decision? All that stuff. But I love when I can find shows that I completely lose myself in. Like one show my wife and I love is The Americans, and that's a show for whatever reason. There's something about that show where I don't analyze it like the way I would normally analyze something a movie or a television show when I watch it. Veep is another show like that where I feel like it's like I completely, when I watch it, just lose myself in the enjoyment of watching the shows.
That's so interesting because I've definitely heard anecdotes from other actors or showrunners that, yeah, like it just feels like work to watch TV to the point where like the only TV they can watch to actually mellow out is like cooking shows or things that are just like completely separate from the genre.
Right. I used to never, ever watch TV. And what happened was when I moved into a house a few years ago, maybe 7 years ago now, and I had to get my TV set up. And the person who came to set up my TV said, oh, and I put Netflix on your television. And I was like, what's that? I don't understand that. and then I discovered, and the first show I discovered it with was, of course, as many people did, Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I discovered, like, binging shows. I mean, I'd heard of this. I'd heard of this thing. But I didn't know what it was like. And then I discovered what it was like, and I was like, oh, my God. This is
a game changer.
This is a game changer.
I love getting people who make my favorite things to answer this question about how people power up. How do we recharge our batteries in this moment where there's a fire hose of information and opportunity and stress coming at most of us all the time? People who manage to make really creative work or find ways to discover things in science, how do they recharge their batteries so that when they step into the office or onto the set, they can actually be the best version of themselves?
Yeah, I think it's a super important question, and it's been interesting. I've been thinking about it a lot lately and trying to reflect on how I actually power up. And we'd love to invite you listeners also to tell us how you power up. What do you do to recharge your batteries in a world that can be really exhausting?
Tell us on Twitter how you power up. We're at Nerdette Podcast, or you can send us an email. We're nerdettepodcast@gmail.com.
In a minute, Jason tells us about his new NBC series, Rise, and we finally hear a clip of Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights.
You're listening to Nerdette.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rise is NBC's version of a nonfiction book called Drama High. It's by Michael Sokolov, and the subtitle says it all. It's the incredible true story of a brilliant teacher, a struggling town, and the magic of theater.
Yes, the magic of theater.
Are you sold?
Yes.
You're into it, right?
I was in from the magic of theater.
So this is based on the story of a drama teacher named Lou Volpe in working-class Pennsylvania. The show stars Josh Radnor from How I Met Your Mother, Rosie Perez, Auli'i Cravalho from Moana, and it's also produced by one of the producers of Hamilton.
That's all the best things.
Right?
Yes.
I was only supposed to audition. That was the deal.
Yeah. But then you exceeded all expectations. When you sang at the pep rally, when you read yesterday, I saw you. I saw you come alive. I think you could do something amazing. I think we could do something amazing together. Think about it.
So tell me how Rise came onto your plate. How did you hear about this story?
Well, it started with, you know, there was a book called Drama High by a writer named Michael Sokolov, and it was about a English teacher in a small Pennsylvania town who took over the theater department in the public high school there. And long story short, he wound up completely changing the theater, the town, the lives of thousands of students over a 45-year period of his running this theater program. And he was an amazing, inspirational man named Lou Volpe. I got to go out and kind of meet Lou, go to the school, and then from that make my own very highly fictionalized version of it, using that the source material as sort of an inspiration and sort of like my North Star as I was writing. But that sort of led to this adaptation. It's been a really, really just a joyful process the entire way so far.
So are you a musical theater guy?
No. No, I'm not. You know, but I should also say that I was also not a high school football guy either when I did Friday Night Lights. So I was probably a little bit closer to a high school theater guy than I was to a high school football guy. So I figured, oh, this would be okay. I didn't do theater in high school. Looking back, having done the first season of the show and seeing what a joy it is, I wish I had.
Yeah.
But I didn't. But I did do theater. I was, after I, when I graduated from college, I started as a playwright, and I spent many years in New York before I got to TV, you know, living the life of the struggling playwright and getting small productions and showcases and workshops and all of that stuff. So this has been a great, that's one of the joys for me. We shot the show, the first season of the show in New York, so I was able to come back to New York, obviously working with Jeffrey Seller and then so many of these great young actors and our, it's been this like great, just a joy.
This is our theater. Our theater. And you treat us like complete crap. You know, you fat cat district people need to get your heads out of the sand and stop sucking up to football. It's just a dumb game that's been blown astronomically out of proportion. The arts. The arts is what separates us from the apes.
So you said you weren't a football guy. Do you think that there's something about these stories that are a little outside of your comfort zone that appeals to you?
Well, you know, I guess so. I think that when I started to do Friday Night Lights, that aspect of it was very intimidating. I didn't know anything. I really didn't know anything about football. I did know about baseball, so that's a sport.
There you go. There's a ball in that, too.
There's a ball in that, too. I had never been to Texas. And there's so much that was different about my life experience from what that show was about.
Yeah.
But that was one of the great joys of it. I mean, sort of going to Texas, going to visiting high school theater program, it's the wrong show, visiting football programs and meeting the coaches and some of the players and going to games. You really get to soak in that world in this beautiful way. And I also thought having some distance from it was also a helpful thing to me because I also knew that while Friday Night Lights was ostensibly about football, at its heart, it was really about this community and about this town. And I knew that so many of these characters and many of the characters that were not football players had to be as three-dimensional and drawn out and real as the football players. And I think that having a healthy distance from the world of football helped me to make that world feel very full.
When Jason Street went down the first game of the season, everybody wrote us off. Everybody. And yet here we are at the championship game. 40,000 people out there have also written us off. There are a few out there who do still believe in you. Few'll never give up on you. You go back out on the field, those are the people I want in your minds. Those are the people I want in your hearts. This game is not over. This battle is not over. So let's hear it one more time. Together. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose! Let's go!
Just this winter, I decided to go back and rewatch Friday Night Lights. So I just finished season two, and it's funny how much I have mentioned it to friends or coworkers and said, listen, if you haven't seen the show, you really need to. And their immediate response is, I'm not a football person.
Yeah.
And it's funny how, like, I'm still fighting that fight of, like, no, it doesn't matter. It's all good. It's not about football. Just go with it. Like,
I know.
You won't.
I know.
It doesn't have to be the deal breaker.
Right. No, tell me about it. I feel like that was always something that we were battling with, you know, also in terms of the sort of marketing of the show and how it was put out there. Because while the football in the show is really so beautiful,
can be such a salvation for these people.
Such a salvation, you know, and you don't really need to know anything about football.
No,
to enjoy
don't.
The show and to enjoy the football in the show, you know.
Right.
It's like there's an announcer who tells you everything that's going on as the game is going. So I do think that over the years, it's been a real pleasure to me. Everybody who comes up to me and says, I never thought I would like this show.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought this was going to be me because I, you know, I'm not a football person. And all of those people who have over the years discovered their show, it means a lot to me because that was always a struggle that we had.
It's so funny, too, how differently football is represented in Rise, because you still have some of the main characters in the show are the football coach and his wife and his daughter, and you have kind of the star football player. But the football team is partly what's sucking resources away from the drama department.
Right, right. It's the other side of it. But then again, we also didn't want to make the football side of Rise be like, oh, those are the evil football
people. Those are the bad guys.
Those are the bad guys. And that's the great thing about it. You know, you sort of meet for example, the football coach in the pilot, and he seems like he's going to be the antagonist. He's like the, you know, the guy who says, you can't take my star player from me.
What do you consider yourself? You an English teacher or a theater director?
I'm both, I suppose.
No, you're an English teacher. That's your job. That's what you get paid for. No matter what happens with your play, you can flop, you can suck, you can fail. You still get paid because you're an English teacher. Now, I get paid to win games. It's how I support my wife and my daughter. It's pretty simple. We lose, I'm out.
And over the course of the season, that character, you get to know him as a father, as a man who's struggling in his marriage, and you get to see all of these sides to him, and you are rooting for him as much as you are anybody else in the show. It's also like, you know, Robbie, the quarterback on the team and the lead in the show, it's sort of set up to make it seem like a story where, oh, he definitely should be in the show. That's more important than football. But over the course of the season, you see that it's way more complicated than that for him. And it's not a simple story, that both of those things provide something seminal and important to his life. And, you know, it's not easy to choose one or the other. And it's a terrible position to be in, to have to make a choice between the two, which eventually happens to him. And so, yeah, we really wanted the football in the show to be real, and we shot football games on the show, and we did it in a similar style as we did on Friday Night Lights. And it was really important to me that those football games, that we put as much into shooting that and preparing for that as we do in the musical theater sequences.
We pick up each other's lines. We have each other's back.
I love that idea of being able to explore stories of different people almost better if you're not already in that world. I think that's so fascinating.
Because then you're seeing what's universal about it, mm-hmm. which isn't whether you win state or get the part.
It's the beauty of the angst.
Coming up in just a minute, homework from Jason Kadams.
You're listening to Nerdette.
And now, particularly relevant this week because we're talking about high schoolers.
Oh.
Homework.
Homework is one of our favorite things because, nerds, this is why we like to ask our guests to assign all of us something to read, watch, listen to, or do.
I would say the book Drama High by Michael Sokolov is an absolutely beautiful book, which inspired Rise. It will move you to tears and will inspire you and will make you want to affect change in your community and your world.
Totally. That's a very good one. Jason Kadams, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Greta. This is really fun. Thank you.
I'm actually shocked, I say, that I haven't read this book already.
Yeah, it seems right up your alley.
Oh, yes. This is my wheelhouse, so I'm doing this homework. Greta normally reads all the books. I'm going to read this book. And I'll, you know, put it on Instagram to prove it or something.
Yeah, report back on that.
Picture it didn't happen.
Yeah,
that's
for
fair.
Sure. Sorry, buddy.
I will also say that the extra bonus homework.
Yes.
Tell us how you power up, everyone. I'm looking for ideas. I may be taking the first vacation ever in my life soon.
Yes, you are for sure. Definitely. It's happening. Don't say maybe. You're doing it.
And I'm looking for some tips, hot tips on how to recharge my batteries.
Yes. Now, I think this could be a tweet. This could also be an Instagram picture. However you do it, just tag us at nerdoutpodcast.
This show is produced by us, Trisha Bobita and Greta Johnson, along with Justin Bull.
Our executive producer is Brendan Banizak, and our intern is Stefania Gomez.
Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, follow us on NPR One, or listen in the WBEZ app.
It's also super extra amazingly helpful if you leave us some stars on Apple Podcasts. Thanks to Sue Jane, the baby person, for the review.
Baby person.
I don't know, man.
All right. I just hope nobody puts her in the corner.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Wow. I guess.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
I was thinking it's 30 Rock where they do the baby thing, right?
Well, that's the sexy baby thing.
The sexy baby, which is different than a baby person, I imagine.
Who knows? I don't know. I'm not going to prescribe values onto this baby person.
The baby person, Sue Jane, could be sexy is what you're saying.
I'm not qualified
you're
to
refusing,
make that
you're
judgment.
Abstaining from, okay, that's fair. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We are at Nerdette Podcast.
We also have a newsletter, which you can find if you go to wbez.org/nerdette. Sign up there, and every week we will send you a whole plethora of links of things that we enjoy very much.
Yeah, my plan is to put at least one GIF of Coach Taylor in there.
Oh my gosh.
For all the Friday Night Lights folks out there. So
yeah.
So, you know, newsletter. You're going to like it.
Our theme music is by Poddington Bear.
Do your homework.
Do your homework.
That girl from the other day? That rude girl?
She wasn't rude.
She finished my cheese. I had this brand new brick of cheese. She devoured it.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max. And listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.